right, so all of that coming up later on the program. But first, joined every couple of weeks by nutritional consultant Pam Colleen from London, Ontario. Pam, how are you?
I'm great, Tom. So you're giving away your driving secrets. You give away your gravy secrets. I mean, is there anything you don't tell your audience?
I want my audience to have the best life possible. And if I can improve it in some small way by saving you 10 minutes in a traffic jam or giving you better gravy or, thanks to you, better bone broth, you know what, making a better stock because the stock is so healthy and it's for the butt. You know what? That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for. Why should we be miserable and living lousy lives?
That's right.
We want to be living the best, best life possible. Often when we think of good food, you have to think of France. There's a whole school of cooking that evolved in France. When we think of the French and their food, baguettes, croissants, mayonnaise, béarnaise, heavy sauces, thick creams, but it seems so heavy and rich, and it comes with the paradox. Why aren't the French as fat as they should be?
Well, because they've got things right. They've got the right formula. They stick to tradition, right? They're eating the foods that we would have eaten in the 1800s when we didn't have an obesity epidemic. And unfortunately, in English-speaking countries in particular, we've lost sight of the importance of animal fat in the diet. And so they include lots of animal fat in the diet still, and that satisfies the appetite so they don't overeat. So they have the formula correct, Tom.
Now, there's an interesting article in the Globe and Mail. A guy who splits his time, Timothy Bond, is a television director, and he splits his time between Toronto and he lives in France. And he points out that one of the big differences for French food, or French ingredients mostly, and what we have in North America is taste.
Yes.
That it actually comes down to that. That really one of the big differences is taste. That is the taste of food that makes it so much easier to be satisfied.
Absolutely. And that taste does come from animal fat. So the animal fat makes the food taste better. That's number one. But number two, and what he points out in the article mostly, is he's talking about the idea of local and their reverence in France for buying local and fresh, and it's constant. And I lived in France for a year. I lived there back in the 80s for a year, and I can vouch for him. Absolutely. It's when, the mothers or the fathers go out shopping, they go to a fresh market. They're going 2 to 3 days a week. They're buying everything fresh. Most of it is locally produced. I mean, they're absolutely finicky over the quality of, say, a tomato, for example, or a strawberry. The taste is the priority, not the look, but the taste. And unfortunately, here in North America, we've lost sight of the taste of some of these foods, like strawberries or tomatoes, that really, to me, just taste more like rubber than anything else.
So with shipping, I mean, so often I go to the grocery store all the time. Strawberries generally, unless we're just getting into strawberry season now in Ontario, but strawberries are available 12 months a year thanks to California or Mexico. Mm-hmm. But in France, it's also a point of being more seasonal as well, because if you're going to be local, you can't have strawberries all the time. You're going to have to be seasonal, which goes to, your point, which we've talked about before, knowing your local farmer.
That's right. And of course, certain foods are going to be produced certain times of the year, so you're going to shift your diet according to what's growing locally. And, unfortunately, and he points this out in the article, is people today don't really know what a tomato should taste like or what a strawberry should taste like. And when I've talked to people who've gone over to Spain or France and they've purchased produce there, it's night and day. They come back and they report, finally, I tasted a real tomato. Finally, I tasted a real strawberry, and they don't want to go back to the more commercial types of strawberries and tomatoes that have been potentially shipped in from hundreds, if not thousands of miles away.
One of the interesting things, though, and he points out one place Canada does do better, although it's not but imagine if it was. I mean, you talk about so often, and we'll look at beef, though. He says, you know what? Canadian beef is better than French beef, only because the strain of cow developed as a beef cow. We do it way better in Canada. Alberta beef or locally produced Ontario beef is better. French cows were draft animals. They were pulling plows. It's a tougher, more sinewy type of beef. But it also, when we think of beef, grass-fed. I had a piece of grass-fed steak when I was in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And the server was like, it's very herbaceous. And I'm like, and? So aromatic. It has flavor. This is I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. Where it's also when we look at local, and especially, I mean, the tomatoes and strawberries are a great example. We have great local producers down here of all sorts of wonderful vegetables you can get a hold of. We've got a farmer's market in St. Catharines, much like you have the Covent Garden Market in London, where hopefully it's locally sourced food you can get. But beef, oftentimes it's also the input the beef has and looking for flavor. That grass-fed,
right.
People aren't used to that flavor sometimes.
No, but what happens, Tom, is that some of the farmers are using breeds that are not adapted to being grass-fed. Cows should be grass-fed, but unfortunately, since about the 1940s, they've been getting lots and lots and lots of corn, which is not natural for their digestive tracts, and it does throw off the nutritional profile. But we, the consumer, have become accustomed to corn-fed beef, and this is really an inferior quality beef. We want the animals outside on pasture eating grass. And the breeds are not there, though, for the most part, Tom. They're not there yet for, grass feeding. So the beef comes out tasting gamey. And a lot of people, once they taste grass-fed beef and it tastes gamey, they don't like it. And they think, oh, I'm not going to eat grass-fed beef again. And that's just a shame, because there are some farmers who are buying breeds that are designed for grass feeding. That's happening more and more and more. It's a little hard to find sometimes. But for example, there's a guy outside of London in Glencoe. His name is Stuart Simpson, and he has done a ton of research to look for a heritage breed of cow that is designed for grass feeding, and it's called the North Devon, and it's a very rare breed of cow. And that beef, and I just was out at his farm, and we had a barbecue, and I'm telling you, that beef just melts in your mouth. The flavor just jumps off your tongue. I mean, it's an absolutely amazing cut of beef. Mark Shaxter is a writer, a food writer, a travel writer for Globe and Mail, and he wrote a book about beef, and he traveled all over the world tasting different cuts of meat and types of beef all around the world, and some of the best beef he's had is absolutely here in Canada, and it has been, in his opinion anyway, the best tasting beef has been the grass-fed beef that he's had. And so it can be, and it typically is delicious, but the farmers have to get the correct breed.
Now, in the Niagara region, I'll tell you, there's two companies. One, Lakeland Meats, who's been around for a while, who likes to source out this, and as well, a new place. So, you know, obviously, places don't, you know, pop up. You're not going to do a business unless there's a demand for the product. So we were driving by the other day, and there's one, and I'll have to go check it out. The Valley Girls, who promote drug-free, hormone-free meat shop, but on their sign, grass-fed beef here.
Nice.
So I'm like, I'll have to go. And so they talk about, well, here's our farms that we come from here. I mean, they tell you, here are the farms that we get our products from. They do pork as well.
Nice.
So it takes, you know, maybe a little effort to look around,
mm-hmm.
but when you find it, you know, it's for the taste. It's
totally practical, because you can buy a quarter of a side or half of a cow, and you can put it in your freezer, and the cost is practical at that level. You don't have to make so many trips. So, you know, it's very, very feasible. But unfortunately, we're so used to just going to the grocery store once a week and buying a couple of cuts of beef, and you pay more money for that, and you're compromising on quality, unfortunately.
Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, joins us on the program. We'll take a quick break. Come back, talk a little bit more about the French paradox. The real reason the French don't get fat has something to do with, you know, maybe they're satisfied. They have good satiety, as you like to say. Mm-hmm. They have enough animal fats. Although when we look at, you know, we think of croissants and baguettes. You know, they're as French as other foods, but oftentimes, it is the taste that leaves us satisfied and not wanting more. We'll continue this conversation next here on 610 CKTV. 20 minutes after 11 o'clock, this is News Talk 610 CKTV. Lakeland Meats is on St. Paul Street West, and they have, well, they also do a number of game meats. They have lots of grass-fed traditional meats, so to speak. Lamb, beef, pork, chickens, certified organic chickens out there. And the other one was a new, it was last year, I guess. I didn't know, but Valley Girls. Valley Girls in Niagara is on Ontario Street, right beside the Freshco, right in that Freshco Plaza. If you know Ontario Street, right across from the hotel, right across from the Holiday Inn and Convention Center. So that's where, so for people who are calling about that, there are the two places I'll mention in St. Catharines. I'm sure there are many others. Send them my way. I will gladly pass them on. Pam, let me go back to why the French aren't fat. One of the things, one of the products that the French consume in larger quantities than us is wine. Is, I mean, they're not washing down their meal with a Coke or anything like that, but they do consume a lot more wine. Is wine part of the equation?
I wouldn't say it's going to make or break one's health, that's for sure. I mean, obviously over-consuming it is going to break your health, but I wouldn't give it the accolades that the media tends to be giving wine right now. They basically paint wine as a health food. I really would hesitate before I would call wine a health food. Because you know, it can border towards abuse in some individual circumstances. So,
but it certainly,
I mean, there's
probably
antioxidants in there, but that's minor in the grand scheme of things, really.
Okay, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. We don't see the French again. Maybe it goes down to taste. That maybe a small amount of wine with the meal, you know, it's a taste.
No,
and it's,
I don't see any problem with, you know, having a glass of wine with your meal. What I'm questioning is all of these accolades we're hearing about in the media about how healthy red wine is. And I think they're really over-exaggerating things. But I don't see any problem having a glass of wine with your meals. No, not at all.
What about the French hours or meal times where it is a lighter breakfast? And I remember being over in France, and I was there for a lot less time than you were there. But lunch was that huge meal. Lunch was the multi-course sit-down, shops closed, people went home. Great in terms of, I think it's wonderful for a culture in terms of being able to regroup and have lunch. Dinner was lighter. Does that, do you think that is a factor in the French lifestyle?
It could be a factor because, you know, the heavy meal is at lunch. You have time to digest it. You're eating lightly at night before you go to bed. So that may be a factor. But I think the biggest factor is that they're getting enough animal fat throughout every meal in the day. So even at dinner, when they're eating lightly, they're still eating lots of animal fat because, you know, there's usually, you know, high fat cheese in the equation. So they're doing things all day long to stabilize their blood sugar, which keeps hormones in balance, which helps to keep weight under control. And that's really the secret. And when you mentioned things like croissant and baguettes, Tom, there's some carbs in the diet, obviously. You know, they're eating some carbs. But the quality of those breads is going to be better there than here in North America. They're fresher. There's less additives, preservatives, things like that. And they're not eating as much on the carbohydrate side as we are here in North America. So they will have a piece of bread with cheese, but they're not going to overdo it like we do here in North America.
Well, that's one of the other things that they, it accompanied by another. And then when you think of a croissant, basically it's a vehicle to get butter into your body.
That's exactly how I see it.
You know, like even the croissant itself is a lot of butter. Like even when they make it, it's like, well, yeah, it's a flaky pastry. It took a lot of butter to get to that flakiness.
I put butter and cheese on at the same time. I, you know, it's got to have the fat there because I want to justify eating the carbs. So
what is your takeaway in terms of how can we adopt our lifestyles? Because we're not going to change the times we go to work. So it's going to be impossible for my whole family every day to gather for a large lunch. Some things it's just, you know, I'm not going to adopt a French style of cooking necessarily for every meal. But what are some of the things I can do in Canada that you think could benefit me by looking at the French lifestyle?
Well, I think it's about keeping it simple. I notice a lot of people try and deviate from the simplicity of eating a healthy meal. When they open up, like, you know, Chatelaine magazine or they read the newspapers, oftentimes they're going to get distracted from the simplicity of eating. So you have to be able to filter out all of that misinformation because it's the nutritional misinformation we're hearing today that's making us sick. And our ancestors didn't have to think about what they ate. They never had to put a thought to it. They knew what to eat through wisdom. And so when you're eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you basically visualize what would have been eaten by our ancestors in, say, the 1800s. And these are the foods that we should be eating still to this day. We've unfortunately deviated from that wisdom. So a bacon and egg style dinner, or a breakfast, I should say, a meat and potato style lunch and dinner. It's that simple, Tom. But like I said, a lot of people, you know, get confused because, of course, you open up the newspapers today and you see, oh, bacon is bad for you, eggs are bad for you, red meat. meat is bad for you. None of those foods ever joined the dark side. And that's the reason why we're seeing a health crisis here in North America, is because we've deviated from those traditional foods. And I want to point out, Tom, on our last conversation, you talked about the book, The Big Fat Surprise by Nina Tykolf. And
yes.
I have a copy of the book in my hands right now, and it is absolutely brilliant. The Big Fat Surprise, why butter, meat, and cheese belong in a healthy diet. I mean, all of your listeners need to read that book. The universities need to read that book. The media needs to acknowledge that book, and the media is acknowledging that book. Margaret Wente wrote a fantastic article about that book in the Globe and Mail a couple of weeks ago. So the news is getting out that these foods are good for us, not bad for us. And that's the hurdle people have to overcome when they're trying to actually pursue what is truly, what is indeed a healthy diet.
Pam Colleen, always a pleasure. Thanks again. Go out and enjoy, discover a farmer's market near you, will you?
Bon appetit, everyone.
Pam Colleen joins us every couple of weeks from London, Ontario. She's a nutritional consultant. Fascinating article in the Globe and Mail over the weekend about the real reason, according to Timothy Bond, the real reason the French don't get fat, taste. When your food tastes so fresh and so flavorful, you require less to get that taste satisfaction. He used the example of strawberries and tomatoes, but he said one of the places we're better, beef. Our beef is way better than the French. A quick break in the program when we come back.